the anti-war movement has been quiet of late. Perhaps some of you were involved in the anti-war demonstrations back in the early 2000s. There was a time in which there seemed to be ongoing activity in regards to opposing war and the military-industrial complex. However, right now in Brisbane, there has been somewhat of a resurgence of activity with peace activists, environmentalists and others who are opposed to the ongoing wars and militarised world that we seem to be living in. They're all gathering together to disrupt land forces in Brisbane at the moment. Land Forces 21 is a convention that is taking place at the Brisbane Convention Centre from the 1st to 3rd of June, seeing all the major arms dealers and manufacturers from around the world, plus our own Defence Force and ministers, gathering in one place to sell their wares and to talk about how they can better militarise the world. As I said, a bunch of people, peace activists and others, have gathered to oppose the Land Forces Convention. And I had the opportunity to speak to Margaret, who's an organiser for Disrupt Land Forces, a little earlier today. And I simply started by asking Margaret exactly what Land Forces is.
It's a massive arms dealers expo, and there's about $30 billion on offer by the Australian government over the, you know, per year for the next 10 years. And this conference is about arms dealers in Australia, including some large transnationals who have set up here, building partnerships and trying to figure out ways they can get a piece of that pie. It's like a huge amount of money that's being spent, and these companies are all teaming up to sort of find new partnerships, to find new ways of organising, so they can, so that they can enter into the supply chains of the global arms weapons industry.
I guess for many of our
It's just land gear. So it's for gear that's being sold into armies and police forces. It's the sort of gear, some of it is the sort of gear that you see being used on the streets of Colombia at the moment, or in the highlands of West Papua. You've got attack helicopters by Boeing. You've got tanks and armoured vehicles, weaponised armoured vehicles. You've got all sorts of surveillance drones, weaponised drones. Then you've got a lot of kit. You've got the sort of munitions that they're firing at protests in Myanmar, sort of munitions that got they're firing in Colombia. And then you've got, different types of vehicles that move people around. So it's all based on land, not sea or air.
Certainly. Now, I was going to say that I guess a lot of our listeners would be aware of, the huge demonstrations in regard to the invasion of Iraq in the beginning of the early 2000s. Many of us participated in those demonstrations. However, in the last couple of decades, it seems as though the direct connection between Australia and these wars around the world is definitely, it's not as clear cut anymore. And I think that perhaps one thing that this convention demonstrates is that there are ways in which the Australian government and our corporations are actually participating in conflict and war. Is that one of the reasons for the protest, to try and highlight how both the Australian government and some of our Australian corporations participate in some of these ongoing occupations and wars?
Well, we think the corporations are in the offices of the government, telling the government what to do and setting up the agenda of the government, organising the government policy. The Pentagon officials are in the Defence Department running the Pentagon agenda, and the Pentagon agenda is to sell as much of their weaponry from the US into the global supply chains as they can. They have four fake justifications for the military industry. One is security, but we know from Clinton Fernandez's work on the WikiLeaks cables that they never talk about security. The Americans and the Australians, when they talk, it's always about trade. It's about how they maintain their own domination on the financial sector, on the domination on their brands and on what they sell. So what we know is that corporations, just like the fossil fuel corporations have been well shown to be in the Prime Minister's office, these corporations are in the minister's offices and the industry offices. So the ministry, the industry minister's offices. So each of the states have an industry minister, Minister for Industries or Creative Innovation, something like that. But really what these people are military industry operatives pushing the agenda of the large corporations. So you've got 8 large corporations operating in Australia with special status, what they call global supply chain program status. And so it's these companies that are now the government's now dependent on to roll out its own sort of supposed defence project. And I say defence with, you know, little air quotes, because it's really not about defence, as we know. It's really about selling, maintaining conflicts, and really the people they get used on are First Nations people, people's movements, resistance, democracy resistance movements. These are the people who bear the brunt of these weapons. And they get used to enforce extraction. These weapons get used wherever there's extraction, they're used to stop any resistance to extraction. So this industry goes hand in hand with the fossil fuels movement industry. And it goes hand in hand in such a way that the money flows from the fossil fuel industry into the government and then out into the military industry. So basically they pay for those industries to defend them for further fossil fuels exploitation.
Now, you mentioned the fossil fuels, and obviously the catastrophic climate change is an ongoing issue, and there are so many issues, as you've also mentioned, that are interlinked into the military-industrial complex, such as refugees and also just the ongoing repression of democracy movements and so forth. I imagine there's a coalition of groups that have come together to take part in this festival of resistance. Can you speak to that a little bit and some of the diversity of the groups and the individuals that are involved? Is it a really broad church, so to speak, in terms of those people that are taking part in the demonstrations?
Yeah, so we've reached out as widely as we can, and we certainly have refugee people who work so hard to free the people from the refugee, the hotel refugees. That we're working with them. We have queer people and women's, people from the women's movement, the old women's peace movement. We are making a strong standing against toxic masculinity, because we see that toxic masculinity is playing out in this industry. Really, the toxic masculinity is, it's really driven by war. It's heightened by war, and it's heightened by these men having to be perpetually ready to kill. And we think that there's a strong alliance there to be made for those movements that are trying to stop the arms trade. We have West Papuan speaking, First Nations, West Papuan, Aboriginal people. We've tried to centre the Aboriginal story too. We like to centre the frontier wars in any story about militarism in this country. We are honouring the fact that Australians just cannot think about militarism because we lied about and been so silent about the frontier wars. And yet we see these frontier wars playing out right now in West Papua in the same sort of format, but with modern industrial weapons, Boeing attack helicopters, Thalers, Bushmasters and ammunition, Rheinmetall, armoured vehicles, machine guns from Russia. And so we see this playing out where you've got First Nations people trying to defend their forests and their lands and their lifestyles, their cultures, their children, and they are being terrorised, and this is enabled by armoured vehicles being able to drive right up to their villages and unleash large battalions of people to terrorise people. So we think there's two things going on here: both the crazy sort of arms race just for money, and the second thing is the sort of enforcement using violence against First Nations peoples.
Margaret, it seems sort of strangely that Queensland is pretty much the sort of the place to be in terms of arms dealers and military exercises. And of course, you've got the Talisman Sabre exercise activities planning to occur later in the year in Queensland at the ADF Townsville Training Area. This has been an ongoing sort of joint exercises that have been taking place in Queensland for years and are often met with resistance and protest. You do have this this sort of week of protest planned, this festival of resistance, but are you hoping that this will build momentum to try and oppose the Talisman Sabre exercises coming up? And more broadly, are you hoping that it will sort of help to reinvigorate, I guess, the anti-war and peace movements, not just in Queensland, but in Australia as well?
Well, we're trying to build a strategy. Like, that's in a way, that's a different issue. That's about the militarisation of Indigenous lands, and in a way, that movement has to be led by Indigenous people. It's Indigenous lands that are being overtaken in Northern Territory, huge tracts of lands in Queensland. I'm sure there's some in Western Australia as well. So strategically, that's a different movement, and I have been involved in that movement before, but I'm not looking at that movement at the moment. I'm looking at the burgeoning of the weapons industry. It's really out of control. And I think I think the cities are the place to be at the moment. And, though, of course, I've been at Saltwater Bay for 10 years on and off. I think at the moment what we need to do is try and build a strategy. And what we're looking to do is build a strategy that's based on with West Papua at its centre and the sales of arms to Indonesia at its centre, because that's what's rolling out right now, and they're the people that are being harmed directly. We're at a point where the war in Afghanistan is finishing, supposedly, but the weapons companies will be trying to make that war keep on going. Certainly what we want is the young activists in the climate movement to understand that militarism is going to be aimed at them, that if we don't get a handle on militarism and the sale of weapons, then we don't, any gains that they make will be peeled back by the use of militarism against them, because that's where militarism comes at. It comes at people's movements. It comes at First Nations people defending their land. It comes at democracy movements and union movements. This is where the violence gets aimed at, and this is where the violence has always been. And so at the moment, that's what we're trying to look at. We're trying to look at which companies are involved here. And we've got Boeing, we've got Thales, we've got Rheinmetall, and we're looking at the corporations, because we've seen that targeting corporations in the climate movement has been very successful. And we've seen with the Stop Adani campaign a very strategic way of thinking about how you target nonviolent action at corporations. And we think that if we can find the right target, maybe it's Boeing, and that we all need to stop using Boeing aircraft, because Boeing actually makes aircraft for war crimes. It doesn't actually make many civilian aircraft anymore. Civilian aircraft have been, very problematic. And so, maybe that's the target. Maybe we take an Australian target like NIA, which is building ammunition and looking to sell that into export markets. Maybe we look at Thales, which is building the submarines in Adelaide, and is already under pressure from the government for not meeting its outcomes. Or maybe we look at a company like the Perth company, Austal, which is building patrol boats that don't meet the standards, but still gets the money for the tenders. I don't know. I think we all need to look at our local communities. Like right now, we're right this minute driving past Thales. It's in the neighbourhood I basically grew up in, and where these arms factories are popping up across the country, not just in Queensland. Western Australia has a huge arms industry. You've got Kim Beazley, who's the godfather of the entire sort of sector, and so. He will be moving at the moment in his position as governor, opening arms contract to arms contract. And so I think this is where we need to look, where $30 billion a year, if we can't, we need to peel that back, that $30 billion. And I think we do that by going after the companies.
That was Margaret Pistorius, who is an organizer with Disrupt Land Forces. You can find out more about their actions that are coming up over the next week at disruptlandforces.org. And this is the Indie Media Show on RTR FM 92.1. My name is Raymond Grenfell.